Hey, you know what? Today is the last Sunday of April. As Bex has already said, the year is evaporating really quickly. And today we're going to wrap up the series that we've been doing for the last for the month. And it looks like we've joined our online up there. We've called it the stretch. And I'm going to crack on to, into a little bit of revision of from the last 3 weeks and then into today's message. So we looked at last week the actual meaning of the word stretch, which means to extend past a comfortable reach or to go past our current limit. And last week I felt really compelled to acknowledge and to recognize two things. I want to do it again today in case there are folks here today who weren't here last week. Firstly, I want to acknowledge and recognize that not everyone has the same start line. Not all of us can reach the same distance. Not all of us start the stretch from the same place. We all have different places and spaces and circumstances around us that dictate where we start from. The second thing was this, that not everyone's current limit is the same either. Our limits, they differ from person to person, and our current limit could be a physical limit, a mental, emotional, financial, spiritual. Any one of those things can be a limiting thing for us. And so, in saying that, I want to wrap those two statements up with this. This whole series called The Stretch has been about encouraging us to take a first step or perhaps the next step, reaching past my current limit with the goal of getting closer to Jesus. Because you know what? There are so many things around our lives that we actually nurture around our lives that actually hold us prisoner. There's a passage in the scripture the Apostle Paul writes, he says, throw the things off that hold you back, the chains that bind you. And sometimes, you know, that limiting chain could be in our mind. Sometimes it could be a physical thing. But this whole thing about the stretch is about stepping in under the authority of the name of Jesus Christ into faith, believing for the next, maybe even believing for the first. So briefly, over the last 3 weeks, part one of this series, Ryan used the passage of the scripture where Jesus called the man with the withered hand to stretch. He had to physically stretch in faith. He had to physically stretch in obedience to the call from Jesus. And you know what? That physical stretch was countercultural to the cultural norms and the societal rules of the day, because he stretched into his physical healing on the Sabbath. And according to the laws of the day, to do a work of healing on the Sabbath equated to work. And under the law, you weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath. So countercultural, societally different, physical stretch into a healing. Then the next week, Bex spoke into the stretch about giving generously, and she taught us that stretch and that generosity covers every aspect of our lives, our time, our talent, our treasure. And then last week, I spoke into the radical nature of obedience and following Jesus, stretching out of our comfort zone, when Jesus, all he said was, come follow me, and he didn't say anything else. It's almost like you get given a blank contract and you sign the bottom line, and once you've signed it, then Jesus writes the contract. Anyone game? You know, I took a particular aspect of what Bex taught us and I dug further into it, and that fact that stretching in faith, whether it's a physical stretch for healing, whether it's a generosity stretch in our giving of any form, or whether it's in the obedience stretch and following God's call on our lives, the core principle of this whole series is that the stretch is a heart issue. When we line up, lining up, and part of this whole stretch, you know, a couple of weeks back, we had our dream talk night on the 9th of April, where we looked at the stretch that comes with the growth and the expansion of the church, numerically, structurally, physically, and we looked at that. And I just want to put out really quickly, we had our eldership meeting just this week gone by, and we want you to know that dream talk night on the 9th of April, that wasn't a one and done thing. The conversation is still going, and in actual fact, just this week, I've locked in another date for part two of that conversation on Tuesday, the 27th of August, because what we want to do is we want to take all the thoughts and things that came in that conversation night, and we want to refine it down and shape it a little bit more so that when we get together, we can talk into that a little bit further and get some clearer direction on the next, on the stretch. And so this morning, I want to just ask, can you just lean in one more time into this whole thing around the stretch? Can you just open up your heart and open up your mind just a little bit more? Because today I'm going to close out this whole series. I'm going to bring a little bit of application on how we stretch well. And by doing that, I want to also bring in another name of our Lord and Savior. And understanding that helps us to stretch even further. So can we just, before we go anywhere else, can we just set this in some prayer? Let's wrap this in some prayer. God of all the heavens and all the earth, you are the King of kings. The throne is yours and yours alone. There is no strategy, there is no assignment, there is no conflict, and there is no controversy that can shake you off your throne and rob you of your sovereignty and your holiness. And it is to you that we look today. It is your name that we come in and we willingly step in under, because your name is above every name. And so right here and right now, Holy Spirit, come. We open up our hearts to you afresh. We lean in a little bit more. Lord, we want to stretch into you a little bit more. Come, Spirit of God, and bring revelation and breakthrough into us, I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an aspect of the stretch that we'll see change in our lives and freedom come, and we can experience in that. That goes just beyond talk. We can't just talk about it and expect something to change. We actually all have a next. We all have a next step that we can take. There's a reach that comes. Whether that reach and whether that next step is your fitness, your faithfulness, your finance, or your future, it doesn't matter. It's actually a bit of responsibility on us in this. We have to take action if we want to see things change. And in this, we need to make sure that we position ourselves to hear the voice of God. Now, you remember last week, if you were here, I talked about the stretch, talked about the revelation of God being positional and progressive. And you know, we might put ourselves in this place. We might position ourselves here and lean in to hear the voice of God here. And we hear it. And because we've heard his voice, it then gives us the momentum. It gives us the clarity to be able to step into the next, that stretch maybe. So we go from this position, receive the revelation, and then there's progression. And we are in this position, we receive the revelation, and then there's progression. Now, how do we hear the voice of God? There is a number of different ways. I have spoken to people who have heard the audible voice of God. There's a part of me that wants that, and there's a part of me that kind of thinks that would be mildly terrifying. I've never experienced that, but what I have experienced is the next thing is an overwhelming impression within my heart, within my spirit, within my soul that was so loud. It possibly should have been audible or could have been audible. And it was so phenomenal that it literally changed my insides. So every decision from that point on related back to what I'd heard from God. Or there's another time that I've experienced, and I know many other people have as well, when you're reading the Word of God, and here's just a little bit of theology. When you read the Word of God, you're reading the Logos, the written Word of God. But sometimes, and I'm sure there'll be a sea of hands if I ask for it, sometimes you'll be reading something in the Bible, so you're reading the Logos, and all of a sudden it's like kaboom, and lights come on, and there's depths and dimension and shape that you've never seen before. Anyone else experience that? That's when the Logos becomes Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, for those who are taking notes. The written word of God becomes the breathed, the alive, the revelatory, revelation word of God. And that is another way you can hear from him. Sometimes you can just simply be walking the hills and just suddenly you are overwhelmed with a presence. And if you could see into the supernatural, chances are the Holy Spirit's walking right beside you going, "Great day, eh? Glad I got your attention. Let's have a chat." But here's the thing that I want us to think about this morning. when it comes to hearing the word or hearing what God has for us. It is hard to hear God's voice when we've already decided what we want him to say. If we will allow him, God will make things very clear to us. And one of the ways I've found that clarity comes in is in understanding an aspect of who God is. And so today, the name, last week I unpacked the name Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the Lord of the heaven's armies or the Lord of hosts. Today, I want us to dive into another name of God, and that name is this, Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner, or the Lord is our banner. Now, this has a military connotation to it, and in actual fact, this name was revealed and this name was declared after a military victory. So we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 7 briefly. Sorry, Exodus 17, verses 10 to 13, and then verse 15. Let me read it to you. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded, and he fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. And as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on either side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. When Moses kept his arms up, the Israelites were winning. When his arms got tired and his hands came down, the Amalekites won. And so two mates got alongside him and held his arms up. Great victory, great victory. Then verse 15 says this, then Moses built an altar and he named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. Two quick points here. Number one, the stretch often requires help. If you're feeling a stretch right now, go you good thing. But actually, don't try and do it on your own. And that's, you know, that's honestly, guys, that's one of the things I absolutely love about this church. We are whānau, we are community, we are here for each other in the good and the bad. You know what? They reckon there is no closer friend than the guy that's in the foxhole with you. When the bullets are flying and the bombs are dropping, the person that's in that foxhole with you, hunkering down, working it through, that's your closest friend at the time. I actually believe that none of us will see the full success of what God wants us to do if we try and do the whole thing on our own. If for nothing else, you just to get to encourage each other in God. Here's the second thing. So the stretch often requires help. And then number two was this, that Moses built an altar. What is an altar? It was a place of worship. It was a place of offering. But it was also a place of recognition. Moses could have just turned around and slapped Aaron and Hur on the back, go, yeah, bros, that was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah, job done. Yeah, awesome, awesome. But no. He paused and he went, hang on a minute. Yeah, I had help. But actually, when I think about it, when the staff was up, we won. When it was down, we weren't. When it was up, we were winning. When it was, you could see him, or you can almost see him going mentally, he's going, win, lose, win, lose. Think Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz, night and day, with me, without me, with me, without me. You know, for those movie buffs out there. And then Moses had a point of recognition when he was like, God was with me. Wasn't. He was covering me. He wasn't. And so he built an altar out of recognition and worship for the God who supplied the victory. I said last week that God doesn't ask us to stretch because he needs what we have. God wants us to stretch because we need what he has. And in that case, he had the victory for them. Jehovah Nissi encompasses all of these aspects. He covers us while we're in the valley. He goes forward on our behalf in the battle. He is also our greatest defense, and he is our strength in our weakness. However, it's not just that he is a strength to us, but we find strength in him. You know, you may have heard this phrase that so often when the battle is around us, when the storm is around us, so often we're going, God, get me out of this storm. And we think, the storm's not changing. God, where are you? And if we stopped long enough and listened close enough, he'd go, I'm right here beside you. He may not get us out of the storm, but he walks with us through the storm. Maybe your life looks a little bit like this right now. Getting smashed relentlessly by wave after wave after wave of a storm. Take a brave person to man that lighthouse, wouldn't it? I want you to meditate on this verse out of Psalm 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Now, in this case, in this lighthouse, the physical shield around the lighthouse keeper is the lighthouse itself. And so in that, we can kind of picture that God is literally the structure of the lighthouse around us. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. But you know what? With God as our shield, when the storm comes, then instead of looking like the previous lighthouse, maybe it would look like this lighthouse. How cool is that? I mean, that would be amazing. Man, I would go and stand out on by the handrail and watch that. That's like, oh, come on, God, you good thing. That's amazing. Wave doesn't even get near it because there is a shield around it. Take a few moments to ponder on the fact that God is our protector and our defender in spiritual battles. Perhaps one of the things that I could encourage you to do is something that I was profoundly encouraged to do. And I could literally take you to the seat in this auditorium where I received one of those non-audible but crazy loud instructions from God. And it actually came through the pastor that I took over from, Pastor Russell Ballantyne. I was going through a storm, and in transparency, that storm had been going for a year and a half. And in the middle of all of that, I was getting counseling. I was actually doing the Choices program that Hillary runs here, which is a life-changing course, and I encourage any one of you to do that course. And God had been taking me through this journey, and the waves were pounding. And you know, the few people who knew what I was going through, they would come up to me and they go, how are you doing today? And I would want to scream with every fiber in my being, I feel like I am drowning on dry land. That's what I felt like. And God was working through some stuff in my life, and it was profound, it was life-changing. But then in this one Sunday, I was sitting in the seat in the auditorium here, and I was so deep in what I was wrestling through, and the waves were pounding and the wind was blowing, so metaphorically. And honestly, I wasn't listening to anything Pastor Russell was preaching because I was so sunk in my own stuff. And then there was this moment of clarity where this is what he said: if you will change your confession and speak God's words. And it was like, that's literally the only thing I remember out of his entire message. And it was so loud and so profound in my spirit, I was literally coming off my seat and I was going to go, I can do that! And then I realized where I was. You know what, maybe I should have done it, I don't know. But I'd like to give you some words that if you are having the shielding power of God do that for you because the waves are that big, then I'd like to give you a prayer this morning that maybe you could use. And here it is. Lord, my confidence is in you. You are a shield around me. God, you fight my battles with me and for me. You go ahead of me. It is your plan and your strategies that I put my trust in. Amen. Trusting in Jehovah Nissi, strengthens my faith. It will strengthen your faith. It strengthens my reliance on God's sovereignty. And I want to just dig into that word sovereignty or sovereign right now. Many of you know that prior to being the pastor here, I served for 20 years in the military. And so I served in the RNZAF. And we had a banner. We had a flag that was called the Queen's Colour. It's probably now called the King's Colour, although they're probably going to have to change this particular banner because it's got ER on it. If you want to bring that slide up, please, Simba. The one on the left, it's got ER, which is Elizabeth Regina, which was the Queen. But this, and then in on the left, that's the Queen's Colour for the Air Force. And then the image on the right, you've got the Air Force, then the Army, and then the Navy. And each one of those is a particular banner or a colour that was issued to the armed force by our sovereign. I want you to think of that word, that statement. It was issued by our sovereign, who obviously at the time was Queen Elizabeth, it's now King Charles. But the banner was issued by the reigning sovereign. This banner called us together as airmen and airwomen. This banner identified us within that force. And this banner called us and declared to us our purpose. In the same way, our heavenly sovereign does this for each and every one of us who believes. His banner, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. This banner is a rallying point. I know where I belong. This banner is a statement of identification. I know who I am. This banner is a call to purpose. I know what I will do. And if there are three things that every living person on the planet desires to know, it's to know where they belong, to know who they are, and know what they're supposed to do. And this banner, Jehovah Nissi, this banner from the King of Kings, from our supernatural, eternal sovereign, gives us that. What a statement. It is a declaration of life. It is a place of hope, and it is a call to purpose. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful that Jesus is my banner, and his banner over me is love. In Jesus, I know where I belong. In Jesus, I know who I am. And in Jesus, I know what I'm called to do. And trust me, I've only had one coffee this morning. You need to hear that again, because I don't know whether you're still contemplating or just trying to figure out if I need medication. But in Jesus, you know who you are. In Jesus, you know where you belong. And in Jesus, you will know what you are called to do. So now we know our place, we know our identity, and we know our purpose. So now what? What has this got to do with a stretch? Well, let me take you to the Old Testament and to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 3. Let me read to you from verses 15 through 18. A little bit of background. The kings of Israel and Judah had formed an alliance to attack the king of Moab. They traveled by a very specific way to get to the Moabite kingdom, but unfortunately they didn't do that well. They did it out of their own intellect. And in that way, it basically turned into a desert. And they ran out of water for themselves, for their animals and all their livestock. And they were literally about to be defeated, not by the Moabites, but by their own stupidity. They were going to be defeated by dehydration and exhaustion. And oh my goodness, then they decide to call on God. I see so much of myself in that. It's like, And then my wife comes to me with the word of the Lord. Did you talk to God? Man, men, don't you hate it when your wife is so right? It's so good. It's so good. I tell you, I trust on the wisdom of my Holy Spirit-filled wife probably more than I should, but maybe not. I don't know. It's great. But what happens is the two kings get together and they, isn't there a man of God that can do it that we can call upon? And anyway, the word goes out. Someone says, there is a man of God. His name is Elisha. So they call Elisha, the prophet, and he comes. And this is what he says. Now, bring me a musician. as a musician, I love this verse. Now bring me a musician. And it came about when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him and he said, this is what the Lord says, make this valley full of trenches. For the Lord says this, you will not see wind nor will you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water so that you will drink, you, your livestock, and your other animals. And this is an insignificant thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also give the Moabites into your hand. Now, I want you to picture this geographically. Where they were in a valley, but where they were, for those trenches to be filled with water, unless it came supernaturally up out of the ground, water had to flow uphill. Let that mess with your geological brains. And this is an insignificant thing in the sight of the Lord. Three things here. They had called on the Lord and the Lord had given them an answer. How many of us would just go, sweet, I've got God's word, and then just fold our arms? God? God. There have been a number of times over my years as being a pastor where I've had people come and they've asked me what I thought the Lord was saying to them about different circumstances. And we've prayed together and God has given us a clear answer and some direction. And a little while later, that same person comes back and asks the same question. It took me a long time to get the courage to reply this way. Well, what did you do with what God said last time? And if the answer is nothing, then I go, oh, well, I've got other stuff I've got to do. I'm not going to pray with you again. Is that harsh? Probably. Probably needed a coffee. But actually, you know what? How guilty are we of going, God, 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 God? And he goes, we'll do this. We'll do this. And we go, God, God, God. We'll do this. We'll do this. You know, it's really hard for us to hear the voice of God if we've already decided what we want him to say. I knew a young man many years ago who was starting a business, and he had all the ability for that business to be amazing. And he gathered around him men of God from the church to speak into his life around his own personal life and his business. Unfortunately, he didn't like what they had to say. And so he ignored them and he went to another group of business people. And he didn't like what they had to say. So he ignored them and he went to another group of business people. And he didn't like what they had to say. So he ignored them. And then he went and talked to someone else who agreed with what he said. And he did it. And he's now bankrupt. And has been for years. Unfortunately, that bankruptcy is now in his soul and it's now in his spirit. Is it right to call on the name of the Lord? Absolutely, it is right. Is it amazing when God answers? Oh my goodness, absolutely, it is amazing. But three things here. How did they hear from God? Well, number one was they worshipped. They recognized, they built an altar of worship and they recognized they needed God. The second thing was the instruction of God was to dig trenches and he would fill them. You know what? The miracle comes from God, but we need to do our part. And sometimes it feels like digging trenches. And sometimes we need a stick of dynamite to help us dig that trench. But here's the third thing. If we have worshipped God, if we have recognized him for who he is and that what he says is true and accurate and our hearts belong to him, and he says, this is what I want you to do, then you know what? When we step out and we do the hard work, even if it feels like digging trenches, even the hard work done with the word of the Lord through worship of God, even the hard work can be done with anticipation and joy. Why? Because the word of God is that you will have a breakthrough. The most common fear, the number one fear across the human race is the fear of failure. I want you to meditate on this verse out of Isaiah 41, verse 13. We used it last week. For I, the Lord your God, hold your hand. For I, the Lord your God, hold your hand. And right here at that moment, when we receive that word from God, right here, right now, what do we need to do? We build an altar of recognition and worship, because it's not just what is being said, it is who is saying it. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, and his banner over me is love. Worship team, would you come, please? I want to ask you three questions as I bring this into land and we go into a time of communion, which I'll touch on in a second. I want to ask you three questions this morning. Number one, what fears are preventing you from stretching into God's calling on your life? If you take the word fear and you turn that into a four-letter acronym, F-E-A-R, I like to use this phrase. Fear stands for false expectations appearing real. What fears are preventing you from stretching into God's calling on your life? Here's the second question. What is the best thing that could happen if I obediently stretch towards what God has for me? What is the best thing that could happen? We spend so long going, oh, it'll cost me this. Oh, I won't be able to do this. Oh, if only. You know what? How about changing it around and going, if only I stepped into what God had for me to do? Amen. What would that look like? And here's the third one. If I know where I belong, if I know who I am, and if I know what I will do, does the discomfort even in the stretch even matter? Does it even matter? Ask anyone who goes to the gym and does weights. You know, there's a question that a lot of people who do weights ask. Can you feel the burn? And you know what that burn is? It's actually the tearing of the muscle fibers in their body. Because the muscles, to grow and to expand, the fibers, the microfibers, they actually tear. And instead of knitting back together at the tear point, they grow new tissue between the tear, the edges of the tear. Can you feel the burn? And at a gym, when a weightlifter goes, I feel the burn. It's not like, well, actually might be. I don't know. But they're going, I feel it because something's happening. Something's changing. Something's growing. Something's getting stronger in me. I'm going to be able to do more because what's the best thing that could happen?